physically. Next on the agenda is appointments and resignations. Tonight we have the Public Arts Advisory Board appointments. We're looking at Beth Armstrong, Alex Budwinski, Jenny Dorsey, Jocelyn Scudder. And we have Jenny here, right? Stand up. Thank you for joining this board. I thought they were all amazing people. So, page 63.
We need a motion.
We need a motion to acknowledge and accept those nominees.
Yep.
Please step forward for your Academy Award.
No, just kidding. So just to approve the appointment again of Beth Armstrong, Alex Butwinski, and Jenny Dorsey, as well as Jocelyn Scudder, to serve on the Public Art Advisory Board. And that is for a three-year term, starting this August and then ending in 2019. And that's the recommendation.
Do we have more people than usual for this cycle? Is it usually four people that get appointed, or whatever that is, five? What is it?
Four people. So we did have four vacancies this time around. Last year we had three vacancies, and this time specifically the board members had termed out from previous terms, so they were able to serve two-year terms, and so we did have some change in the board at that point.
So do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, please. I move that we appoint Beth Armstrong, Alec Butwinski, Jenny Dorsey, and Jocelyn Scudder to serve on the Park City Public Art Advisory Board for a three-year term that's contingent on anticipated amendments to the board's bylaws in October 2016, and each will serve for three-year terms.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Welcome.
Thank
Where's
you.
Alex? Where is Alex?
I don't know where. Yes.
How did he miss this?
There's
cake and everything and no Alex. Free food. All right, next on the agenda is public input on any matter that is not scheduled on the agenda this evening. So if there is someone out there that wants to talk about just anything, this is your moment. Seeing no one, we'll move on to consideration of the minutes of July 21st, 2016. Please.
Very small edit. It's on page 69. It's Rob Davies, not Ron Davies.
Good catch. And?
Oh, and I'd like to make a motion then, if there are no other additions, to approve the, let's see, what's the date on those? July 21st, 2016 meeting minutes as amended.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Old business, there's a request to authorize the city manager to enter into a two-year service provider agreement with Morrison & Morrison. Who's running this one?
Matt, are you doing that one?
Matt.
Okay.
Come on, pick up the pace.
Sorry, Matt Dias, Assistant City Manager. We had this contract on previously,
yeah.
And there was a question last week about interpretive services for individuals that didn't use English as their primary language. And so we're happy to report that this vendor uses the court-certified interpreter system. We also checked with our chief, who's here in the back, and our victim advocate, and they've never had any complaints or anything like that. And we put in the staff report, interestingly enough, there's a lot more languages than just Spanish. We're using German, we're using Tongan, we're using a lot of different other languages. And the individuals are certified by the court system, and that's very helpful because they're used to the terminology that we don't use every day. So those services are provided.
That's good to know. Thanks, Matt.
First of all, thank you for clarifying that for me. That was important. And then, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we authorize the city manager to enter into a two-year service provider agreement with Morrison & Morrison LC for public defender services in the amount of $125 per hour in a form approved by the city attorney.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Tim? When you come back, I'll leave.
This is going to be fun.
Next on the agenda is a request to execute a contract with Park City Foundation with the intent of providing $45,000 to Summit County Power Works. Welcome.
So moved.
Your Honor.
Jonathan.
And Mary Krista Smith.
Mary Krista Smith. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Mm-hmm. This is based on council direction to continue to pursue our net zero goals as a community and a municipality. Mary Krista and Summit Community Powerworks have been the primary people and group pursuing the Georgetown University Energy Prize, which we demonstrated in multiple reports and updates and presentations the value of it to the community. In terms of the appropriation, there's a section of the state code that allows municipalities to do that based on certain criteria and a formal study required to do that. Those are attached in the report found on page 93 of your packet. So with that, just one small nuance is if you are going to entertain a motion, can it be in a form approved by the city attorney?
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. Mary Krista, you want to add anything? You've added a lot already.
I've added a lot. I'm just very grateful to be here before you all today. And I want to express my thanks to Jonathan for the hard work that he's put in preparing this report and document for all of you today. So thank you to Jonathan.
Great. Comments or a motion?
I just really quickly wanted to make a comment about, again, back to the project this weekend and how much you're providing to the community. And after installing 1,300 light bulbs, or however many that we did on Saturday, I was at Home Depot and I walked past the LED aisle and it was about $6 per light bulb. And so just the value of you obtaining sponsorships like that and what you've done for our community as a whole is priceless. So thank you.
Thank you, Becca.
And
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, I just think you've been a tremendous value to us, and I am happy to support the city continuing that work with you and the pursuit of the Georgetown Prize. So I'd say go
Great.
Get it.
Great.
And I'll make a motion if we're ready.
Please do.
Okay, Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion that we execute a contract with the Park Safe Foundation with the intent of providing $45,000 to Summit Community Power Works to pursue the Georgetown Energy Prize in a form approved by the city attorney.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is consideration to approve resolution 17-2016, a resolution amending the Public Art Advisory Board and Public Art Policies. Tell Tim he can come in. And actually, I'm gonna be here for that. I misstated. I'm going to step out on item 4 and 6, not 2 and 6.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council.
Good evening.
Jenny Dearson with the staff liaison for the Park City Public Art Advisory Board. I am here tonight to return and request review and approval of the public art policies. Tonight, if it's okay with you, Mr. Mayor, I'm just going to start with a high-level review, and then I'll turn it over to you guys for questions and comments.
It is indeed.
All right. Tonight's information in your packet starts on page 111. And I'm just going to start with board roles and administration. The Public Art Board makes recommendations on public art to help create sense of place, including creating vibrancy for both community culture and economic vitality. Some changes to the board roles include changing the administration of the board from being administered by the Arts Council to now being administered by staff. What that means for staff is now staff is in charge of creating agendas, board packets, and recording meeting minutes. Staff will also oversee the public art plan, projects, and strategic plan, as well as maintenance coordination. Those are things that staff has been working on over the past year and a half, but just clarity in roles between the Arts Council and staff and the board. And then also, Arts Council is going to continue to support the board through non-voting ways, including helping to leverage partnerships and collaborations between other nonprofit organizations and Summit County Public Art Board, for instance, as well as the Arts Council. Also helping with grant writing on future projects, and then also promoting the projects that we're doing throughout the city and our programs and collections as a whole. And then also wanted to give a quick update on board roles. There's not too many changes there. Of course, the big change that we're asking for this evening is changing the terms from 2-year terms to 3-year terms, and that's really to help with the continuity amongst the board. We found that it takes 12 to 18 months to have some of the projects complete, and get up to par there. And so that is our recommendation this evening. Also, through our work session that we had with you guys on June 30th, we heard that you guys are really looking for interactive, accessible, engaging works of art. And the board really heard that, and I wanted to mention that. And our focus will remain on permanent works, permanent visual artworks, and then temporary projects as those funds and those opportunities arise. And then lastly, we did hear, again, the focus is on visual works, but if we do have a few opportunities for other forms of art, might it be performing, we will approach City Council before we make any moves on things there. And then also wanted to give a quick update on inventory and maintenance. There is a draft of a inventory attached in your packets as Exhibit D that starts on page 145. One of our past board members, Judy Horowitz, helped put that together. We do also have a public art map. Both are a little bit outdated, and we need to do some work there to get that inventory where it should be and understand what's in our collection. And we will also be adding some of the interior pieces that are on the inside of the buildings, that inventory as well. So, for instance, the pieces in the hallway here and City Hall would be an example of that. And then another thing I wanted to talk about is the maintenance regarding public art. The maintenance is a collaboration with the police department, the parks department, building maintenance, as well as the streets department. There really are frontline for identifying things like graffiti or damage that's been done either purposefully or due to natural causes. And so working with this plan, we've been kind of just reviewing funding and role clarity as well as level of service that we need for those. And as we continue to look at our inventory and talk about maintenance, those departments as well as myself will be having meetings to discuss that, and we'll return to City Council to give you further updates on that as needed with regards to those items. And then I also wanted to let you guys know that we're also coordinating with the library. The library has recently updated their exhibit policy. They have a new temporary art rail that's inside the library, and they have requested that a public art advisory board member serve on that committee to help make recommendations on that temporary exhibit. And so once the new board gets up and rolling, we'll be appointing someone to that role with the library exhibition committee. The Public Art Board will continue to make recommendations on art in the library and on the outside of the library, with the exception of the art rail. The library exhibition committee will make that recommendation. And then lastly, really, I don't have that big of a funding update. I think we covered that last time, but I did want to say specifically a lot of help from Nate and Jed, and understanding the budget has provided a lot of clarity to the board, and that was really important and super helpful. And I just wanted to say that and let you guys know that. So
great.
Turning it over to you guys for questions and comments.
Great. Any questions before public hearing? Please.
Well, as council liaison to this board, I know that this truly was a labor of love. You guys, both staff and the board, worked really, really hard on this, and it took a long time. So I just want to say well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, hear, hear. I would agree. So we'll now open the public hearing with regard to this item. Anybody that would like to speak, please step forward and sign in. Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Tim.
Jenny, I'm curious. You do cover this a little bit in the report. You talk about the Arts Council role and how that's changing. And I know the majority of the focus of this report and the things you're asking for deal with our advisory board and not the Arts Council. So I'm wondering about, with the change of role and what the Arts Council is giving up but still doing, how does that affect the Arts Council? Or does it?
I am not sure exactly how it affects the Arts Council, I guess, but it was that the change in role is both a recommendation not only from the Public Art Board but from the Arts Council directly. And so they are looking to, I think, focus more on some of the arts and culture initiative and really finding those ties in our community that they can help to strengthen not only the work of the Park City Public Art Board but the Summit County Art Board and all the organizations and the vitality of the community.
Okay. I guess my question was, and you answered it, you asked a question better with your answer. Was it a collaborative effort with the Arts Council, and they were involved, and it's a joint recommendation, and that's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
This, again, is just on the Arts Council. Do we still give them
So we do still give them funds. I don't know the exact funds off the top of my head, and we are still waiting to give them the contract for this year as we work through these recommendations as part of that.
Great. We have public hearing. We need a motion.
Your Honor, I move that we approve Resolution 17-2016, a resolution amending the Public Art Advisory Board and public art policies.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Jenny, great job. You do a great job with that board.
Thank you guys too.
And with everything else you seem to touch. Next on the agenda is a request to consider a fee waiver in the amount of $63,851.64. I like how we go into the cents. For the Christian Center of Park City. Yay.
Michelle, can you just note for the record that Tim and the mayor made their disclosures earlier in the meeting and the purposes of things.
You got it.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Tonight we have a fee waiver request for you from the Christian Center of Park City. We have a request that including the building, planning, and engineering fees associated with the addition and remodel at 1283 Deer Valley Drive for the total of $63,851.64. The city code
same
does,
number I had.
Yeah. City code does require council to approve fee waivers above $5,000. The fees can be waived for the purpose of a nonprofit that provides a public benefit. And staff's recommendation is consistent to the previous, which is a consideration of a 50% reduction with a max of $10,000. However, the Christian Center is here and would like to have you consider the full waiver. Just want to make sure that that's clear. And I'd also have you please note that the fee is very specific. In the staff report, we tried to calculate exactly the sum that we are anticipating. However, due to the fact that this project may be phased, for example, it may be one large permit that the Christian Center is going to pull versus multiple permits that they are considering. It might be a demolition, an excavation, et cetera, phased out into multiple permits. And so depending on how that works out, we might have a small adjustment in the fees. However, because the scope of work is still anticipated to be the same and all of our permit fees are reflective of the value of construction, we don't anticipate the fees to change significantly, but they might be slightly adjusted.
Mm-hmm. And may I add one item to the staff recommendation that I actually didn't think of until after the staff report was published, which is that at the end of the day, staff believes this is a fabulous organization. We work with these folks. They're wonderful and they're amazing. So the staff recommendation actually has nothing to do with the organization itself. What it has to do with is building and planning permit fees, which pay for staff to get work done. And I was talking with Jed Briggs, our operations budget manager, this week, and the numbers are not final, so don't take this to the bank, but we may not hit our revenue numbers this year because, not because of fee waivers, but because the building volumes haven't been what they were expected to be. So where we have a number of these fee waivers, we know this is the second in a long line of fee waivers that we'll be seeing. Staff is concerned about the ability of the general fund to really handle this and about us being able to make really pay for staff.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks.
Would the applicant like to add anything?
Good evening. Tom Wells, my name. I'm speaking on behalf of the Christian Center of Park City, and I have been working on this project for about 2.5 years now and developing the concept and everything that goes through the pre-construction activities. And at the outset, I will say that I do support a full waiver of the fees for this remodel project. I'd just like to take a moment and just express appreciation for the cooperation, the professionalism of staff. They have always been there if I had some dumb questions and needed some guidance to get through a code book that I haven't really gone through in past years. The council package includes my letter, which sets out some of the rationale for the request for the 100% fee waiver, which is, I'm going to round it off and refer to it as $64,000. Please don't take that one to the bank yet. And we've got a new handout, or an updated one at least, and if I may, I'd like to be able to give that to each of the council members. And while I can do that, I would like to, thank you. I'd like to just say that the Christian Center is very much a part of this community, and I think it's shown by the way the community has responded, and certainly the growth, which brings us to this point in its short 16-year history. And it will, once we finish with these plans, which are going to be just tremendous, we're going to be able to be in a position to provide an excellent community service. So I'd like to call on Rob Harder to speak to the at-a-glance, we call it, which is from 2015. And then I'd like to just take a few minutes to wrap up on a couple of other matters that are pertinent to your decision.
Okay. Thank you. Rob, welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here, and I just want to say publicly thank you so much for the tremendous support. I just felt like I've been here for 6 years, and ever since I've been here, I feel like you've been a partner, a supporter of the Christian Center. So I just want to say publicly thank you. It's fantastic to have a city council mm-hmm. and city members of the community so supportive of a nonprofit like ours. And I know that goes for almost all nonprofits here. So I'm not going to highlight all the things. You can look through that because it's obviously too much time. But I just want to just hit a couple of summary items in terms of who we are and what we do and why this is significant for us to have this request to you. In short, you know, the Christian Center, we seek to meet people at the point of need. And so we really end up serving a lot of those vulnerable people here in Park City and Summit County. We feed them, we clothe them, we give them household goods. You can see, like, for example, we gave over 1 million meals away last year through our 2 food pantries. We served over 48,000 people. It's significant, and often, you know, I'm interviewed at different things back today. I was on news today and told people that Park City, you don't typically think of need, and yet it's here, and you guys know that, and so that's why we're here. So we appreciate your support, and that's what we do. Another thing that a lot of people don't know, that people every day walk through our doors, and they need rent assistance. You know, they can't find, they either can't afford their rent, they can't afford their mortgage, they've got a car repair, they can't afford, so then they can't pay their power bill, their power gets turned off, or their water bill gets turned, you know, their water gets turned off because they can't afford their water bill, etc. We seek to plug the gap where people really can't meet those needs, because I think one thing that I've been astounded by, to be honest with you, how many people in this community, right here in Park City, that are just one car repair away, one medical bill away that they didn't anticipate, one emergency they just didn't have in their budget that could just sink them and really move them into the working poor. And so that's why we're there. We're there to plug people, plug those needs and come alongside, provide food, clothes, all those things. So having said that, why are we asking for this? Because we feel like, you know, as we expand our programs, you know, we've continued to grow, as Tom said, over the last several years. It's been fun to see the growth, and we're kind of maxing out on our space. So a couple of highlights, you know, our counseling center, we have 5 professionally trained counselors right now. We only have 3 offices for them. So we're really hoping with this building expansion to provide more counseling. We span the gamut in terms of what we offer in terms of counseling. But one of the fastest growing areas is reaching the low income and the Latino community. We have a Spanish-speaking counselor. We have a scholarship fund, so similar to the People's Health Clinic. Whatever people can pay, $5, $10, whatever, we'll provide the rest through the scholarship fund. So we'd love to expand our counseling, for example. Our food pantry, we're maxed out now. And if some of you have been down there, you've served in there. And it's very crowded. We have no more storage, and so we're doing a lot of off-site storage now for a lot of the dried goods. So, for example, for $64,000, based on just our numbers last year, we could serve another 1,700 people with that money. Just to give you just a quick, like, what could we do with it? Well, that's what we could do with it if we, you know, per person, what it costs to serve people. Another thing is we mentioned that emergency assistance where we help with rent and utilities and housing, et cetera. Again, on conservative average, 100 people, individuals that come in, we help them, and the amount of money we gave to them, if we had $64,000 more, we could serve another 525 people. So just to kind of get some dollar, or, you know, dollar amounts matching real people that we can serve, that's partly why we feel passionate about being able to expand our building and having all the help we can get would be wonderful. So with that, I'll just hand it back to Tom.
Thank you, Rob. Tom?
Thank you. As I said, over the past couple of years, we've been really busy developing plans, and then last year we had a bit of a surprise with the way the construction bid market was, and so we went back to the design table, redesigned, I believe came up with a better design, more efficient, more effective. But, you know, construction costs are continuing to climb in this region. It's a very healthy state, and there's a lot of businesses that are attracted, and there's a lot of construction underway, and so obviously construction costs are going up, and I'm feeling that we may be having more surprises as we move forward with the project. So with as many donors that have already committed to fund this, and keep in mind it is all donor financed, we're committed to stay on budget. We can't tell our donors one number for a budget and then come back to them and said, mm-hmm. whoops, the construction costs have gone up, this gone up, this gone up. Now, we're trying to manage this process very professionally, and I bring 50 years of experience in this business to the table for that purpose. So that's a big reason that I am nudging the city to provide the full waiver of these fees. There is, with the completion of the project, I really believe this will emerge as a very significant institution within this community. So let me do the counterpart to what Rob just described and express in a way that what can we buy for $64,000? And one of the critical things is, it's getting built, it's getting it finished, but it's also providing the bits and pieces and the furniture, fixture, equipment, FF&Es, so that it can support the programs and services that Rob talks about. So for instance, $64,000 could certainly get us started in the right direction with a rooftop solar panels for energy efficiency. $64,000 would more than pay for the new geometry at the Deer Valley entrance. It's going to be incorporated a left turn lane to get out and a much improved right turn ingress so that we're not having any slowdowns coming through that curve on Deer Valley Drive. And one of the really neat things is it'll buy all the appliances that we need for two kitchens. Now we have just one, mm-hmm. sort of, and we're going to have one in the pantry that we're planning to use as a focal point for teaching, a teaching kitchen in the pantry. And the other is going to be a completely rebuilt kitchen on the community hall top level. So, and I could go on and on about the numbers of things that could buy, but in summary, we just really respectfully request that the council approve this 100% waiver. It would mean a lot to maintaining budget. It would mean a lot to the programs. It would mean a lot for the building completion.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Any questions before a public hearing? Let's open the public hearing for this item. Anybody that would like to speak about this, please step forward and sign in. Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Please, Nan.
Well, in full disclosure, I'm a huge fan of the Christian Center and supporter of it and the activities that you do, because I think you truly are one of Park City's essential nonprofits. The services that they provide support council goals and priorities in terms of making us a complete community, in terms of making it affordable for our low-income workers and families to live here. And it also supports our desire to have an inclusive, culturally competent community. And I think that's a key role that the Christian Center does. So I'm in support of giving 100% fee reduction.
Cindy, you want to go next?
Sure. I think that the Christian Center has been a great member of our community and provides, as Nan said, a key element of making us a complete community, supporting citizens that need the most help. And I'm supportive of giving them a complete fee waiver. Is it so? The reason this one is so much larger than the fee waiver we gave before is because of square footage? Is that how it goes?
It's the valuation.
Right. Building permit fees are reflective of the total value of work. And so they will vary significantly from project to project depending on that scope of work.
And I am sensitive to the fact that as we talked about the last time we gave a fee waiver, that there are a couple other projects coming forward and that we might have to make some kind of accommodation to meet our goals. I don't know what that is, but I think we probably should have a work session or something on that, about what we can do to meet our other, meet the needs of building and planning if we're not going to meet them through collecting our fees.
Thank you, Cindy. Becca?
I agree with both Nan and Cindy. I think that as far as affordability goes, the Christian Center provides services that are unparalleled with anything else we have in this community, that make sure that people that are living on the edge don't necessarily fall off of it and help pull people back off the edge when they're there. So thank you so much for all you do. And what you said about that feeling of, I very clearly remember that feeling of being one car payment away from disaster or one dentist appointment, or you just never know what that thing is going to be. And then you put things on your credit card and it's bad. But so thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it. And I do think that when we talk about fee waivers for this, that it does make a lot of sense to waive the fee in totality. And it is hard on the business, the building department, and I absolutely understand that. But we do the same thing for our events. We have special events and we pass fee waivers over and over for our police departments. And so I cannot think of a more worthy cause. So thank you.
Thanks, Becca. Andy?
Everyone's put it well. The essential role you play in this community, the Christian Center is key and accomplishes a lot of things we want to see happen at the city. I do have a concern, which is not related specifically to you guys, but it is how we address these fee waivers in terms of if somebody came to us mid-stride in the budget and said we want to do a special service contract for a very important service for the community for $80,000, we would look at that as a big hit to our budget and adjustment. And I think we know that there are multiple other nonprofits that are also important to our community. They're going to be coming to us very soon asking for large fee waivers. And I think we owe it to the budget department to have a discussion before we start doing large fee waivers, because I think it has a significant impact. So mm-hmm. I would rather approve the 10 tonight, put a very soon work session on to have a policy discussion and evaluate whether we want to amend our budget to deal with these before we just start granting these, because I think they could add up very quickly, and then we're not sure how we're going to address that. So I'd like to have the numbers lined out ahead of time. I'm open to considering it, but I think we really need to look at what we're going to have to cut out of our budget, because there's going to be something else we're going to have to cut to make this allowance for you and the other nonprofits. So that's my one concern.
I haven't spoken yet. But I totally agree with what Nan had to say. I think that the work that you do directly impacts people in the greatest need. And having grown up in a family that needed something like that at one point in their lives, I know the difference that it makes. And so I champion what you do, and I think a full waiver is appropriate in this case. I do believe that we should have a further discussion on how we deal with other issues and other requests. But this one strikes at my heart, and so I support this. Any other perspective with regard to what Andy had to say?
Well, I already called. I said we should have a work session. I'm okay with approving this one and looking for those deep pockets someplace.
Yeah. So do we have a motion? Nan?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve a fee waiver in the amount of $64,851.64 for the Christian Center of Park City.
Did we give them an extra $1,000?
Did I say? It was 63.
$63,851.64.
You got the cents right.
Yeah.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, and thank you for the great work that you do.
Good. Thank you very much.
I'm going to step out, and Tim will step in.
And I did get this dress for $8 at the Christian Center.
I'm recusing myself. I'm going to go move my trailer.
Do you want to trade?
Next up, new business item 4, consideration to approve ordinance 2016-40, an ordinance staying enforcement of certain violations of Land Management Code, Title 15, Chapter 3, Section 4.
Good evening. On July 21st, City Council requested staff to return with a discussion about a possible stay of enforcement regarding the Municipal Code 1534 regarding parking trailers, campers, motorhomes, boats, and other equipment in driveway areas. Staff has discussed and has agreed to prioritize any red lines to the city code that will be presented to the Planning Commission and then to the City Council with a recommendation for any long-term code changes. In the interim, staff is recommending and supportive of a stay of enforcement for this code section until October 31st, 2016.
It's a day for past public officials to speak up.
That's right. We get so seldom get a chance. I'm just putting Mary Ann. I'm sorry, what?
Would you like to bring up one of our misleading?
I'm Mary Ann Cohn. I have a small RV in my driveway.
Right now?
I'm preparing to leave at any moment. I was going to Smith Morehouse, but it's on fire, so I'm not allowed. I really was. I was going to go for a few days. So it's still in the driveway, so I would appreciate this extension. I don't really want a $100 a day fine until we get this worked out. And I've talked to quite a few neighbors about this, and, of course, there are a few of them go, this is so unsightly. I was like, really? It's so cute. But so it's kind of a matter of maybe where you came from, where some of the people moving in came from somewhere where none of this is allowed. And there are areas in Park City where CCNRs do not allow any, at least in driveways. So I thank you for the extension if that's what you're going to do. And I'm happy to be help with a solution if I can. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close the public input. Comments? Motions?
I move we approve Ordinance 2016-40, an ordinance staying enforcement of certain violations of Land Management Code, Title 15, Chapter 3, Section 4, Subsection A3, parking restrictions in a form approved by the city attorney.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Unanimous. Should we go get the mayor?
Let's make him tell him that we didn't pass it.
Should we? I guess we can skip to item 6 probably. Go on. Okay. Might have lost him.
Mm-hmm.
You're back.
Thanks, Tom.
You've got a $100 ticket waiting for you on your trailer.
It was Cindy.
Right. On to item number 5, consideration to approve an ordinance amending Title 11, Chapter 13, impact fees. Michelle.
Impact fees. On July 14th, staff came to you and we discussed amendments to Title 11 regarding impact fees in the municipal code. In general, the red lines are in an effort to revise, simplify, and more clearly define how the current impact fees are calculated without the fee values actually being changed. And we hope that for the sake of customer service, it'll make it easier for applicants to anticipate and calculate their fees on their own prior to application so that they will be able to absorb those costs. The values and fees for parks, police, streets have all, like I said, remained the same while the tables have been modified. So they look a little bit different and the layout is different. The exception to change in fees applies to a new exception for outdoor dining. Staff is proposing that the fees, water impact fees for outdoor dining areas are eliminated from the fee table so that we would no longer charge for outdoor dining areas. In addition, we're recommending to adopt a fee for appeals for any fees that staff calculates. This fee is recommended to be refunded at a percentage comparable to any adjustments that are made as a result of the hearing. Makes sense. We did look into, following the July 14th hearing, potential adjustments to the outdoor water impact fees and xeriscaping. What staff came back with was a recommendation to remain the same with consideration of several things. First would be the fact that we want to keep the 50% refund for any kind of drought-tolerant plantings that are installed after installation so that staff has a chance to actually inspect that and make sure that the plantings are consistent with the landscape plan that is submitted. Secondly, it's very difficult for staff to enforce, and so the more we complicate and tier the calculations with specific plantings, the more difficult it is for staff to follow those sites over the years as plantings and things change. Mm-hmm. Additionally, on July 1st of this year, staff, we've already modified the water user rate tiers, and modifications were designed to target high water usage and to charge a significantly higher amount per 1,000 gallons for those higher tiers. And so to this point, that has been staff's strategy for applying any kind of financial incentive to reduce high water usage.
Good. Bruce? Ann? Any questions before a public hearing? Sure. Oh, good.
Well, I circled something in the report, and it had to do with appeals, and now I'm reading it, and it seems to make perfect sense to me, so I'm not sure why I circled it. But did the appeals jump out at anybody else, the $500 fee with an exception for appellants that can demonstrate financial hardship, and then a refund based upon sort of the outcome? And I don't know. When I read it, it somehow struck me that it was odd that we were charging a fee for an appeal, which seems to discourage an appeal when an appeal is maybe a part of a process that we don't necessarily want to discourage, but maybe we do.
We have charged appeals for other we charge fees for lots of other appeals. So maybe we do want to discourage.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there's
staff's intent is not to discourage appeals at all. When we do have hearings, what happens is not only the cost of staff and providing that hearing and the logistics of it, but the city also absorbs a cost associated with contracting with a hearing officer that is generally significant higher than $500. And so the $500 doesn't even recoup the cost that the city is incurring as a result of providing that hearing. That's not the point. That's not the purpose or the goal. The goal is to make sure that there's some ownership and a reasonable just cause for anyone to request a hearing, with the understanding that if it's reasonable and there's justification behind it, that the city is not intending to keep their money or generate revenue off of providing that service and providing due process to someone.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Any other questions? Let's open the public hearing for this item. Anyone that would like to speak on this, please step forward. Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Comments or a motion?
Your Honor, I move we approve Ordinance 2016-38, an ordinance amending Title 11, Chapter 13, Impact Fees of the Municipal Code of Park City, Utah, in the form approved by the city attorney.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. I'm out again.
This time, can you put it?
You know, I could just switch these around and stay. Never mind.
We want to see you go in and out. Come on.
Okay. New business item 6, consideration of an ordinance number 16-39, an ordinance approving the North Silver Lake amended and restated condominium plat, first amendments to units 6A, 6B, 10, 11, and 13.
Good evening. I'm Francisco Astoria for the Planning Department, and I just want to point out 4 discrepancies found throughout the staff report and want to take full responsibility for them. The first one's on page 217. The voting is 5-0, not 6-0. Same thing on page 219. And then on page 225, it says that staff recommends denying the application. We do not recommend such. We recommend approval, as it did move forward with the Planning Commission based on the draft proposed ordinance. Luis will take it from here.
Luis, are you going to let him take credit for all that?
No, it was me. I was the so therefore, I was the one who made the error. So it's full my responsibility.
Bruce, you're going to let Luis take credit for that?
I still don't know. I get to say yes.
Yeah, more than anything, it's just.
Quickly, you're
going to
lose your goodwill.
I didn't know a few things. I didn't know that the commissioner, or chair for the planning department or planning commission. I thought they voted as well. I did not know that. So that's why I said 6-0 instead of 5-0. The city manager did catch at the very beginning of the summer recommendations that I did say deny, but I changed that one to
you
approve.
You don't have to tell them that. They didn't
Luis,
see it.
Luis, is this your first presentation to us?
It is.
Well, welcome. Yeah. And I think there's probably fewer errors in this than there was in Francisco's first report.
Yeah.
Why don't you kick it in?
Staff recommends City Council to approve the amended and restated condominium plat for units 6A, 6B, 10, 11, and 13. I messed that one up. Considering approving the requested application based on the findings of fact, conclusions of law, as found in the draft. That's also wrong, too. So there you go. Another mistake. Findings of facts, conclusions of law, and conditions of approval.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Would anybody like to comment on this? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Any discussion or motions?
I do want to let council know that Luis is a Summit County native. He's a native of Colville. He has an accounting degree. He started with us as temporary or seasonal support during Sundance in the finance department, and he was such a good fit for us and such a great worker that planning stole him as a full-time employee.
That was some time ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the fall of 2014. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while.
I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 16-39, approving the North Silver Lake amended and restated condominium plat first amendment to the units 6A, 6B, 10, 11, and 13, pursuant to findings of fact, conclusions of law, and conditions of approval in a form approved by the city attorney.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, unanimous again.
And you should just ask Rhoda about the typo in her report today.
I think I get to vote on both of those, so those were both eyes for me. Sorry, I forgot.
I could not figure out what you guys were laughing at.
Thank you.
While we're transitioning, I would note that the chair of the Planning Commission commended Luis on the quality of his staff report. Another group commended him on the quality of his staff report, and the Planning Commission voted 5-0 with that error in the plan. So that's our life some days.
Let's take a 15-minute break. On to item number 7, consideration to continue ordinance 2018-41, yada, yada, yada.
No comments, Mr. Chairman. Staines Canyon, number 6, plat amendment, request to continue after public hearing.
Great. Anybody want to talk about it? We'll now open the public hearing on item number 7, an ordinance to continue 2016-41. Anyone here? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Do we have a motion?
Your Honor, I move we continue new business item 7 to August 25th, 2016.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Do we have a motion? We're wrapped. Thank you very much. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Anybody need a drink to calm down? I have got another commitment, so.